Good morning, Gamecock fans. Today's Friday, August the 14th, the year of our Lord 2026. This is Coffee with J.C. Sherbert. I am here this morning. Busy, busy, busy as always on a Friday. It seems it never fails. Go to fourquarterfriday.com if you're a high school football fan. Extreme heat in South Carolina has caused some cancellations, postponements, schedule changes. So as it get really hot, obviously, supposed to, probably already is. I'm not in the weather right now, but certainly thinking about everyone down there. And it's affected the high school football schedule for tonight. I know jamborees are always something I looked forward to back in the day, especially when I was in high school. You go hang out, our middle school, actually, you hang out with the ladies. You know, mom drops you off in the station wagon. You're all dressed up. Going to the game tonight, going to the game tonight, you know, in the halls. Anyway, I don't know if you can relate or not, but that's not what this podcast is about. Coffee with J.C. Sherbert is about Carolina football. Just about every episode focuses on some sort of football topic. Appreciate everyone that is signed up for thebigspur.com, GamecockCentral.com, our special $29.95. One shot, you don't pay till this time next year. And again, it's going to be pretty eventful school season, academic year at South Carolina with men's sports. So you can save the money you probably will spend later when whatever happens, happens, whether that's good, not so good, somewhere in between, up and down roller coaster, you know, whatever you want there. And also appreciate everybody that's been listening to the podcast lately. Coffee and then the ITG versions of the shows. Those numbers are up. Always appreciate Gamecock Nation. Always goes up this time of year, but it's been a little bit more spiked this year. So I can't thank everyone out there enough for just caring about what we do. It's a blessing to get here, get on here every day and for a job and do this. You know, I don't let that get lost on me that I'm pretty lucky that people care about what I have to say. Even the haters, you know, the haters care, obviously. I mean, it's the indifference is what kills you, not the hate. So, all right, enough with all that. Let's talk about Sequel Patterson. You know, I'm trying to keep a lid on some of this stuff. And I told you yesterday, I'm just trying not to go seem like I'm going overboard with the confidence about the roster and the players. And the bottom line is this, it's all about setup, you know? And if you think about it this way, folks, you can set up for something immaculately. Let's say you're in a friend of my wife's for years worked for Marriott and did like banquets and weddings and events. Events planner. You could be an event planner and have all your I's dotted and T's crossed. You can have the best chef, like Chef Will Turner. He's the best, or, you know, you can have all of, you know, Palm Casual bring in your furniture, you know, and the best decorations, the greatest DJ on earth. You know, you can have the guys from 5 Point Social running your bar. And everything's perfect, right? And things could still go wrong and you could have a disaster of a event. And so you got to look at it like that. You know, all this is set up. You know, August is about setup. Practice is about setup. Everything that we talk about, this guy's looking good. This guy, it's just based on two things. Number one, baseline talent. What is the player shown on a football field? And what is he showing on the practice field right now? Quickness, speed, playmaking ability, competitiveness, all those things that you go into when you're evaluating an individual football player. Evaluating total units, it's kind of just like the sum of the parts, you know, but you don't really know how they're going to stack up against other teams because you know, you're not really comparing them side by side. I learned that, you know, in doing evaluations nationally for Rivals and ESPN and 24/7, you would see a player on film and yeah, that player's really good. And his film's probably better than, you know, what you saw out of this other guy. And the metrics are better, and all this, or the reported metrics are better. And this guy's a little bigger and stronger and faster. But then you sort of see him in person, and actual football takes over, you know? And this other guy's a better football player, and he's close enough with the metrics, so you rank him higher. And in team football, it's similar. You look at it, you think you know, but until you get a side-by-side comparison, it's very difficult to do. So, and I don't think people out there, you know, dive into it as much as some of us. You know, it's sort of a, you know, are they going to win or not? That's the bottom line. Is this player coming to the school or not? Are you getting him or not? Is he injured or not? And I totally am down with that. I wish I could just spit out one word answers and say, hey, you know, yes, no, maybe, that kind of thing. But as we all know, when you're preparing for a season, and college football is all about nuance and context. And it's funny because a lot of the media that covers it, and the people that do the playoff and the rankings, they don't, there's no context. I mean, they're very, very surface level. And that's why we have like this unspoken rule that somehow, you know, if you lose two games, you're good enough to play for the, you know, compete for a national championship. Even if you beat, you know, Shamrock State for your 10th win. But if you play Ohio State on the road, and I'm not, I don't, look, this is not a Texas should have been in the playoff conversation, because I think when you look at how they struggled with Mississippi State and Kentucky and lost at Florida, that should have hurt them. But let's just back up here. The Texas Longhorns, had they not had Ohio State on the schedule and had they beaten Shamrock State, you know they're putting Texas in the playoff. They're not gonna put Vanderbilt in the playoff, you know, and they could justify it because Texas beat Vanderbilt very closely in Austin. But they're gonna put Texas in the playoff. You know, there'd have been no Miami Notre Dame discussion. You know, and I know that because you know how they think. So I do believe in the sport in general. Everybody could, you know, stand to explore the nuance and context a little bit. But that's okay. You know, fans, you know, I like kind of when I was not in this business and I was just reading about it, member of Gamecock Central back in the day. Working in newspapers, I like to read about all the players and I'd get excited and all that. I never got mad when a player probably wasn't quite as good as, you know, not that Tony Morell and those guys were overhyping guys, but you know, I never got upset about it. But you know, you got to keep it in perspective with what you hear out of practice. I've been trying to keep a lid on it. This team went 4-8 last year. It's not the same team. There's 48 new players. There's new coaches. It's a new team, basically. And the guys that came back are a collectively very impressive bunch of players that, if they get just a little bit better, they're going to be pretty damn good. And so you look at all of that, and there's reason to kind of flush last year. And at some point, you know, next week, you know, you're probably going to hear me say, it's just time to get over last season. Just get over it. And I should have said that last year. But the end of 2024, if you think about it, was just so. And with the way that season played out, there was really one month of greatness. I mean, calendar wise. Yeah, there were six games. Sure. Six games is a lot. That's half of a season. But Oklahoma was at the end of October. And then there were, what, five games in November? It's just how the calendar worked. And so it was all packed into one month. And, you know, Carolina was 5-7 the year before. So if you think about, you know, September, October, and I know there's some in August sometimes, but August, September is one month. You know, the 3 months of football season. So we've had 9 months of football, actual football season at Carolina. During the past 3 years, right? Well, no. Yeah. No. Yeah, nine, because you got to count 23. 9 months, and eight of them have featured very, very few good moments. And so I understand why people are a little down. I mean, it just, you kind of hurry up and wait for the big payoff in a condensed period of time, and then it goes away in the land of Mickey and against Illinois in the bowl. So I get it why people are like, I don't want to believe because I'll get hurt. I understand that. And that's not everybody. That's a lot of there's a few passionate Gamecock fans that are just trying hard not to get excited. And it's not like not getting behind the team. Everybody's gonna be there fired up, ready to go when the season starts against Kent, and especially when SEC play starts, everybody's gonna be fired up. But the preseason stuff, they're just trying to kind of not not fool themselves, I guess, talk themselves into it. But every day on the Insiders Forum, I see somebody, I've talked myself into it now. And so there's that disclaimer about what I'm about to talk about, which is another freshman and another wide receiver, Sequel Patterson. And we talked about him with Deputy Smitty yesterday on the show. Deputy Smitty actually had a nice little video breakdown. You can follow him on social media at Deputy Smitty, Smitty Sports Network on YouTube. I highly encourage it. And sometimes guys come in as freshmen and, they're good, but they're young. And you hear that young. And the whole, and what's crazy about a lot of these freshmen that have been like better than expected and they're going to actually play because they're just good enough, is that the whole purpose of the offseason was to get, or not the purpose, but one of the goals of the offseason was to get older. And on the offensive line, they've done that. And then here comes Darius Gray, right? And in most rooms, they have a lot of older guys. But they hit on these right now. Again, it's a journey. And some of these guys that are pretty good right now, they may not get any better. That happens sometimes in football too. But I think they hit on more of these guys than they thought. Shane Beamer talked about it, about Noah Clark. I didn't realize this. And most coaches will say that, you don't know till they get on campus. And I'm going to quote Will Muschamp again. He said, "Yeah, we don't. It was a signing day, and Carolina done pretty well." It's like, well, we'll know about this class in 2 or 3 years. He's like, "I've had guys that I thought would come in and ball out, and they didn't, and guys that I didn't think would ball out, and they did. You just don't know till the pedal hits the metal, so to speak." And I think that's kind of what's happened with Sequel Patterson. Then there's other like intangible reasons why we maybe weren't talking about him as much as we should. Number one, there's a lot of receivers in the room and a lot of receivers that have done a lot of good things in practice. And then there's some that have done some good things in games. There's more that have done good things in practice. And that's going to be important this year, is for these guys to take it to the next level. I mean, shoot, you got Nick Harbor, you got Pup Sellers, who, speaking of in games, he's been probably better than the rest of them as far as production goes. Maisia Bennett led the team in receptions his freshman year. DJ Black was at UCF. I mean, you've got all those guys that were like Donovan Murph and Jordan Gitteron and Malik Clark and Lex Cyrus, highly touted guys. I mean, receiver wasn't necessarily a big priority in the recruiting class of 2026, but you absolutely take Sequel Patterson if he wants to graduate early and wants to come. And then, the summer he committed. There's a lot of focus on some other guys and things like that, guys that didn't come to Carolina. And then he was not an early enrollee. He ran track, played basketball. He's a multi-sport athlete at Indian Land High School. And so, you're kind of like, well, the receivers are set. There was all the buzz about DJ Black, rightfully so. Pup Sellers, a lot of guys. Malik Clark, the first couple of weeks of spring, Nick Harbor. And so, and Donovan Murph played last year, caught, what, 19, 16 balls. And so you sit there and think, well, Sequel Patterson, he's young. Probably going to be kind of like Jordan Gitteron and redshirt or whatever. He's not the biggest guy out there. But then you turn on the tape. And oh my goodness. So I think I mentioned this on the show. There's a reason why this guy was a top 20 overall prospect. You watch that. You watch his, everybody talks about basketball these days. Basketball, as it relates to football at Carolina sometimes, has been a hotter topic around Gamecock Nation than the actual basketball team. Like, you think about peak pickup basketball. You think about Darius Gray, all conference basketball player. Yeah, basketball and offensive lineman, now Sequel Patterson, basketball, basketball, basketball. Well, basketball, football's a gladiator sport where you're kind of evaluating outside of the sport, so to speak. How do they project? A lot of projection in football. And that can tell you something. Brian Rowe left and went to UCLA. And Brian Rowe, if you remember this time last year, people were pretty fired up about him. And I think he did some really good things. Sort of like some other guys, he peaked during the Missouri game. That's another reason, like in that Kentucky game, I really wish they'd have gotten off more than 14 pass attempts because guys like that needed to kind of get lathered up. So, and he was a Brian Rowe was a shoelace away from breaking a long touchdown against Ole Miss. Just didn't accelerate. But he left, and so all that athletic promise was out the door. Well, I'll tell you this right now. Sequel Patterson does Brian Rowe things plus two. And, could Brian Rowe catch 60 balls at UCLA this year and Sequel Patterson catch three at Carolina? Yes. That is plausible. That is plausible. But you watch the film, and so this guy can do Brian Rowe type things, but his elusiveness is an Ace Sanders level type elusiveness. If you watch how he makes people miss, that kind of stuff, there's guys that can jump, there's guys that can catch, there's fast guys, there's guys that can run routes. But that kind of natural stuff, they call it the ability to make you miss in a phone booth. That's called like just natural God-given ability, special rarity. And that's why I think Sequel Patterson will make an impact on this football team this year. And that's as far as I'm going to go. I'm not going to say he's going to start. I'm not going to say he's going to be a great receiver right now. Could he? Absolutely. Will he? I don't know. There's a lot of competition in the room. And a lot more goes into it than just being great at high school football. Is he going to be learning the system, running routes, fundamentals? Does he get jammed at the line of scrimmage because he's not a huge guy? I mean, there's all kinds of things that go into this. But I do think he'll make an impact one way or the other. He's too good of an athlete and football player not to. And he's got that combination I love. A lot of times there's great athletes that need to be developed in football. Then there are great football players that athletically they're going to fall behind no matter because they got that ceiling on them. Sequels both. Great football player, great athlete. Check, check. And then rare. So that's a three check thing. I should start a rating system. Three check. He's a three check. No, God, I don't need that on my plate, right? And I haven't seen very many like him. And look, this is nothing against Pup and Donovan Murph. I mean, they're great players in high school. Do special things on the field. But the best way I can describe it, and I have no idea why the ranking services dropped him in the rankings. Those are supposed to be long-term projections. I tote that banner like I'm at a protest. Long-term projection, long-term projection. Ergo, it makes zero sense to drop a guy that's a long-term projection here just because he's in a class with older dudes. How does that impact his long-term projection? I don't know. I'm toting the banner of we need an impact rating too. I think it would lower his impact rating. Sure, he's younger. But long term, they just same thing happened with Jordan Gidron. He lost a whole star rating for 24/7, which didn't make much sense. But so that's the thing there. I mean, he was an 18th ranked player in the country and then just kind of got lost in the shuffle with all those lower four stars, they kind of jam into the back end of the top 250 or whatever. And look, I'm not criticizing. I did some jamming there. One of them was Deebo Samuel. Jam that guy in there. I'm proud of that one. But so I think that when you look back on it, though, there's a reason he was that high. And the best way I can explain it, getting back to that, is this is what should be in a perfect world, and it's not always, because everybody's got different eyes and opinions and like reasons to like I don't know what Dylan Stewart's season ceiling is, so he's not number three, he's number 15. Okay. Everybody's got different eyes though, and maybe they end up being right. I've thought guys were dead wrong before with that. But this should be the difference between a blue chip four-star guy and a five-star. Sequel Patterson is that guy, and so is Darius Gray, we found out by the way, and hell, so is Noah Clark. But JC Sherbert said they were all five stars. Just put a blanket five star on them for all of them. Put a Garnet six on it. Let's have a Garnet six star. Some of you will remember what put a Garnet six on it. Some of you will not. And so I think that just in general, taking the Gamecock stuff out of it, taking the just from a pure evaluation standpoint, this guy and what he did on high school football field and the return so far, that's that rarity that screams five star guy. I mean, you think about the five stars on the roster, Gabe Brownlow Dendy, rare, and he and Gabe's more of a an athlete that you probably develop in football. Defensive lines like that. There's a Gabe Brownlow Dendy that's a top 10 guy that's gonna need development and had an injury to set him back and all that. And then there's like a Dexter Lawrence that can just step in and rock, or Christian Wilkins, or whoever you'd like to choose there. Sorry for mentioning two Clemson guys, but those were the first ones that popped in my mind. But so there's those guys, and so that's why Gabe was up there. So Dylan Stewart, obviously, when you watched him early in his career from really game one on, you saw the way he bended, you saw the way he could, you can't block him with one person. You saw the explosiveness, the get off. I mean, Dylan Stewart's 2 yards upfield when the whole other, when everybody else is just kind of back there. I mean, it's just rare. Nick Harbor is back in the like the athlete category, but there's not a lot of folks like him. Josh Dobson is a five star, the 2027 recruit, because Josh can cover like crazy and cover a lot of ground in coverage. He does things in coverage that like normal corners don't do. And actually not just normal corners, NFL corners. And like guys that the not that guys are currently in the NFL, but guys that, like some of these guys go to Georgia and used to go to Alabama, where you just know they're gonna be in the NFL. And they go and they're solid and really good and they're first rounders and they play in the NFL 10 years. Not necessarily rare. Elite players, but not necessarily rare. That's Josh Dobson's rare. And that's why he's a five star. I'm trying to think if there's any other five stars on the roster. I'm probably leaving. Darius Gray was, and I think we're seeing his rarity. Rivals, we did not have him as a five. ESPN did not have him as a five, but 24/7 Sports did. But so it's rare. The rarity. And that's why I think Sequel Patterson, you just have some guys that no matter how good everybody else is, there's just things they do that the others don't. And so that's why I think that guy's got a chance, because there's more to it than just he can do things other people can't. So we're just going to put him out there. There's a chance he makes an impact, folks. And again, trying to put a lid on it, because it seems like every day I mention another player that we really like that has a chance. And that's okay. That just means that there's some options. And what you hope for is you look at all these options and you think that, let's just say the options become solutions, i.e., answers this year. And the percentage of those options that become answers and solutions combined with execution, in-game coaching, the other team. An act, what I call acts of God, like the ball just bouncing the wrong way, dunking off of a field goal hitting off the post, freak things. I mean, the ball is oblong. All those things go into winning and losing. But when your options become solutions, you're kind of set up to win a lot better. But they're not solutions yet. They're not answers yet. The answers will come, of course, when the games are played. John Strickland joins us on Inside the Gamecocks today. That'll be fun. Rafael Esparza's back in. Ask Rafi on Twitter if you got questions about the prediction numbers. Of course, On3 is officially partnered with Polymarket for the predictions markets. Check that out if you're into that kind of thing. And so I'll be back Monday. We're going to be talking kind of about the first scrimmage, hopefully. Hopefully, I have some stuff to share on that. And won't be long, folks. We got 3 weeks from tomorrow before the Gamecocks kick off a 2026 football season that will be interesting to say the least. How about that? It's been Coffee with JC Sherbert. I'm out. Happy weekend, fellas and ladies. Holla.